Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. And Stuart, as you probably already have guessed, and we have Larry on board. We're going to do kind of a, I don't know, commentary, I guess, on some of the things that went on in Washington today. This was probably unprecedented in the speech itself, which is the core of this entire thing. The transition of power went very smoothly, but very, very unusual for the president to, in front of the entire Clinton-Bush cartel, to do what he did. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Hello, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what's your take on some of the things that were said there?
On Trump's inauguration speech,
yep.
I thought he said what he said. That's what he campaigned on, and he said what he meant. And they say the mainstream media went berserk because it only took him 14 minutes to lay it out.
Well, he did have plenty to say about the people that were standing right, or sitting, actually, right behind him.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard a more declaration of war.
Well, yeah, I think you're right, Stuart. And what's interesting, they had Lou Dobbs had Nigel Farage from England on a while ago. You know, he's part of the Brexit movement.
Yes.
And Nigel Farage made a comment about that 14-minute speech, and he said, "You should have seen all the faces of other presidents and high officials behind Donald Trump. They looked like they were sucking on lemons."
Well, for him to do that publicly and really come after the Bush-Clinton cartel, which also includes the CIA and the NSA, we all know that now. By now, we've figured out who's who. And it seems like he just is going after all of them. He even went after Schumer for blocking. He didn't do it at the speech, but he did it later, where, you know, the Democrats are, of course, obviously boycotted. What was it? 56, 46, some big number. Can you imagine boycotting
it?
That? Go ahead.
Yeah. 68. There were six, I believe it was 68 or close to 70 that didn't go. And I really laughed today when I heard someone comment, "Well, you know, he hadn't even got an office good, and he didn't have to drain the swamp. The swamp's already leaving Washington, D.C. They won't stay there."
Good. That's a good comment. Maybe if he makes it uncomfortable enough, they will simply just leave. But I kind of, when I was watching Clinton and Hillary, I kind of got the impression they're afraid. What's
well,
your
you
take
know,
on
I was,
that? I mean, he can go after them now.
Well, my take on that is very interesting. Yeah, my take on that is very interesting because unless we come out with an executive order that we didn't know about, Obama did not leave cover for Hillary Clinton against prosecution or more investigation, period. Or Bill Clinton. He kind of left him out in the cold.
Wow. Well, that's right. He did not issue a pardon, did he? That
no.
I know of. Did you hear of any such a pardon? I know he pardoned all kinds of people he shouldn't have, but that's typical Obama. And literally giving the finger to the American people. And goodness or righteousness, I guess one could say. And the other thing I noticed was the prayers. They really brought back in Jesus Christ, God the Father, et cetera, et cetera. What's your take on that? Are we watching, how do I word this? Is this a delay? Is this the last chance? We got two options. This is the last chance for America to heal herself and at the same time bring Israel into the mix, get their Sanhedrin up to speed, get the temple up to speed. And speaking about the temple and the Sanhedrin, let's kind of deviate off in a little bit. Israel seemed to think the possibility of a massive attack was a real possibility. What's your you followed that much more closely than I did. What's the deal with their launch of a new system and their troop movements?
Well, what's interesting, I followed very closely, and of course I got cyber attacked, and nobody's heard from my Yahoo group or got any emails from me in a while, and I got hit by a high-level attack. But from what I could follow on the news in Israel, the papers are full of glee all across Israel because Barack Obama left the Oval Office, and they're full of glee that Trump came in. Now, on one hand, Israel has now begun deploying their Star Wars missile killer systems, which are AR-3 missiles across Israel. Now, this is very unique because they really hadn't told anybody much about that missile system, and it's likened to Star Wars. And one of the incredible things that this missile system can do, it can not only stop another ballistic missile or missile fired against Israel, it can take them out of the atmosphere, and it can also put another missile on the launch spot. So let's say one fired out of Tehran. Well, you can also give another one back to Tehran. It's a very unique system, and it's kind of a secret project system, and they've deployed them as secrets out. And they wouldn't have done that with a secret like the Arrow 3 or the Star Wars missile killer system just on a hunch that somebody may attack. They probably got good intel that this is a very dangerous time for Israel. Now, on the other hand, Times of Israel were reporting that as the Israelis were welcoming the new 45th U.S. president into office, at the same time the Israeli Defense Forces were moving more forces across Israel in rapid deployment, and also preparing for an escalation of Palestinian violence and any attacks because of the U.S. embassy moving to Jerusalem and apparently in favor of Israel having more control over Jerusalem than when Obama said Jerusalem is not in Israel. It seems the Trump administration is diametrically opposed to that. Now, on the other hand, too, what's interesting is the fact that I was trying to remember his name, the new press secretary or the new, I believe that's his name. Yeah, here it is, Sean Spicer. He's the new Trump spokesperson. He made an announcement that the movement and announcement of the Jerusalem embassy by the U.S. is coming soon. So it's not been put off. It's still in the mix, and I think Israel is preparing for a big blow-up, and they're willing to take the brunt of the attack. They're getting prepared.
Well, what I can't quite understand is what difference does it make where the embassy is to the Palestinians, other than the fact that they want half of Jerusalem and they want half of Israel. And a lot of people don't understand that Palestinians – really have no claim anywhere to any of that.
Stuart, they do have a claim. The capital of the Palestinians in history is Amman, Jordan.
It doesn't have much to do with Jerusalem, I don't think. But, of course, people don't study their history at all, so they probably don't even realize what's truly going on there. And you hear that, you know, Israel stole all the land in the beginning. And actually, the truth is, they paid for it.
Yeah.
They bought
and not
land
only that,
from the Arabs.
Well, not only that, Stuart, not only did they buy it or obtain it by war, everywhere that Israel exists, if you dig down into the ground, you can only find Hebrew stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, they don't want that stuff known. What is your take now? And this is kind of an interesting question because of the United Nations. How do you feel Trump is going to handle the UN? What's your take? I believe he's going to really get kind of tough with them and may even throw them out altogether. But we don't know. We don't. The guy is kind of complicated in one sense, but he's very simplistic in another.
Well, his mainstream media today, they said his 14-minute inaugural speech, which everyone has claimed is the shortest inaugural speech in history, the mainstream media said it was very blunt, I guess lacking bluntness to lies. But what blood is, Stuart, from what I can tell, is it appears Trump tells the truth, and that's so blunt, it takes a while for the mainstream media to figure up a new lie to cover it.
Yeah, and I noticed 14 is 77, 7 plus 7, or 77, which I find very, very interesting, knowing how the Lord does things. 7 is, of course, completion. And Donald Trump being the last Trump, and I'm especially think the last Trump for the United States, but do you think that he will go after the UN, or is he going to try and work with them? This, you know, what we got here is a, how do I word this? We still don't really know who Donald Trump is. We do know, obviously, the hand of the Lord is on him. The question is, how long, and is the left going to tolerate any of this stuff? I mean, obviously now he runs the House, and the Republicans have the Congress. However, he's got a lot of enemies in the Congress to get things done. So what do you think he's going to do as far as the UN and the globalists? It sounded to me from that speech that he's declared war on them because Obama, Bush, Clinton, we're all UN, basically UN operatives. What say you?
I was listening to Nigel Farage talking, and he said the America people get it, mainstream American people, but now the left and I guess which includes California and New York and other locations, they don't get it. And he said what Farage said was, he said, actually, the American people, through Donald Trump, took back the White House, and it's a revolution. He said they hadn't figured out yet. This is a civil war. This is a revolution. It's not going away. Now, one of the things that's interesting in what you asked me, and I'll try to answer two questions here. One thing, you talked about the numbers. Now, that's ironic because I don't know if anybody checked, but Donald Trump is 70 years old, as he was inaugurated in as the president of the United States, the 45th. So everybody that thought there was only going to be 44 presidents, they can lay back now and relax, because that's been proved not quite accurate or not quite fulfilled, because there is a 45th now. And the 45th could be, Stuart, one of those strange acts we read in the Bible that Creator does. But what did he do with the UN? Now, this is interesting. Samantha Powers at the UN in Obama's last day or two just screamed at Israel and basically those that were not going along with the major deal on the 70 Nations Conference. And, of course, her voice is quiet tonight because she's being replaced. I do believe, and there are warnings, that there's already a Republican bill in Congress to defund. I don't know how much, all of it, 100%, 50%, I don't know, the UN. And you remember Donald Trump sent the message to the UN right after they did that resolution, and he said, something. He said, when I come into office, things are going to be different. So we're going to have to watch. This is not. And somebody else said that. Said this is just not another president being inaugurated. This is all different.
Yeah, I think what we watch today is a momentous turning point. And things are definitely going to change, but could they also remain basically the same? Because are we watching a two-party system with one head, and are we in a reprieve, so to speak, a time delay for the Lord to work out what he wants to work out? But the Bible does not, the prophecies against America, Babylon, are one of judgment and horrific judgment at that. And four plus five, Trump being the 45th, that's nine. Nine is always judgment.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that he did turn 70, and he spoke for 14 minutes, which is seven plus seven. So, you know, they don't do this stuff, how do I say, it doesn't come off the cuff. It's well-planned. It's well-planned.
Well, I find it interesting, Stuart, that during the cyber attack and my response to the cyber attack through other groups, they found 14 devices monitoring my activity on the Internet. 14 devices. That's that number again, if you want to talk about it. But,
yes.
You know, people can say, but this is high-level stuff. I mean, really high-level stuff. And I never knew I might be that important. And, I told you that maybe more people are watching us than we know. But this is what's interesting, and I have to say this. Donald Trump made a very interesting claim at his speech last night, that pre-inauguration deal they were having.
Mm-hmm.
He said something, he said very interestingly, I'm not the message. He said, I'm just the messenger. Now, I heard that clearly because that seemed to ring from what the rabbis in Israel were proclaiming of Donald Trump being a Messiah-like figure, but they weren't calling him like the Messiah at all or the Messiah. They were basically saying, as Tom Hard cleared up when he got attacked about what the rabbis said, he said they are saying he's something like a possible John the Baptist that comes as a messenger. You know, he's not the one, but he precedes the one with the message. And so I find it interesting Trump said that. Now, I do believe that, everything about Cyrus, it seems to really fit into the picture clearly. People can read Isaiah 45. It clearly talks about it. And I think, Stuart, that we will have a short window. I can't say the window will be a smooth place at all. It may be very rocky. And I think that Trump, who has more enemies than anybody other than Israel on this whole planet, actually, and a whole lot of them in Washington, D.C., I believe it's a window of time, and I don't know the time frame, but, I remember your words, and they echo in my head all the time. We would have healed Babylon, but she would not be healed. So maybe he brings that message, and it's the final Trump or message, and
yes.
We don't know. Something may happen. People may not pray anymore. People may get relaxed, just relax and think it's all fixed. It's not fixed. Trump is, has said before, this is the beginning. This is not the end of something.
Well, this is kind of, Trump is kind of John the Revelator. It's almost like he's opening up. He's unsealing that which was hidden, the secret work of the Bush and Carter, and Clinton cartel, which has had a grip on Washington for what, almost 50 years?
Yeah.
And they were solidly entrenched, and of course Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr., whatever you want to call him, Obama, were all in favor of globalist New World Order. But I noticed some of the commentators were talking about Trump and saying, this is the New World Order, which I find kind of scary. in a way.
Well, you know, Stuart.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Stuart, you know, no matter what they call him, no matter what name they try to give him, and of course he really wasn't an insider because he was more of a wild card. I like that term better.
Yes.
And as I say again, it reminds me of a biblical strange act, you know, a Mary and the Begat, something nobody ever would have thought of. And they still can't conceive of it. I mean, a lot of people can't apply what we're talking about at all. A lot of people think we're just nutty in a fruitcake, as the old saying goes. But, you know, if you connect enough dots, you can begin to see a picture. And the picture I'm seeing, and I think you are too, is that America's at a critical place. I do believe, Stuart, I do believe that if something had happened to deny Trump the presidency and either Clinton had got in or Obama stayed, the Jews and the Christian peoples would have been decimated. They would have been done. You know, we would have been, it would have been over, basically. You know, but I think that we this is a reprieve. This is a little bit of heavenly reprieve. Stuart, I think this is grace we never expected. Really, grace we never did expect to reach this far.
Yeah, and I noticed that Franklin Graham had a few words to say when he was praying, sort of like he was suggesting there is going to be a reprieve, or little one maybe, but that Trump is, like he said, when Trump came up to the podium to speak is when it started to rain.
Yeah.
Now, he made mention of the fact that in the Bible, rain is a form of blessing from the Lord. And I can attest to that personally because when I met the Lord and got, I don't, can't call it baptized, but definitely got the earnest from the Holy Spirit, I asked the Lord to baptize me, and guess what? Opened up the heavens and rained hard. I got soaked. So I can attest to the fact that rain, biblically, like that, timing of it, would tend to indicate that God's hand really is on Trump for whatever, like you say, strange act that he is going to perform. And it almost does look like that he's going to be judgment at the same time, because if you look at some of the stuff that they're working on, increasing surveillance, all of this sort of police state stuff, I think is going to accelerate. And with the riots there, you notice the police didn't coddle these rioters, did they?
No, they absolutely didn't. But, you know, there's one thing that I noticed, like you were talking about, real clear. I was watching. It seemed to begin when Trump arrived in Washington and went to that the entertainment portion last night when they were singing songs and he was standing there and, clapping them and really, you know, giving them honor for what they were doing. You know, it was almost like, Stuart, after the years, or at least 8 years, but more than that, really where the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, et cetera, has not been welcome to those meetings.
Yes.
It's almost like there was a paradigm shift in the heavens, and I saw a different spirit operating around Trump and Washington at that point. There was a new spirit in town, so to speak. And I watched it unfold. I listened to those wonderful songs, and it just brought tears to my eyes. I hadn't felt that in a long time. Stuart, for the last 8 years or more, I have wondered what nation I was born in anymore. It wasn't anything like I was raised, you know, in my youth or in my church days or, you know, when I didn't go to church so much. None of that. I mean, you know, and trying to find the Lord and find who he was and what he was and what he had for me and et cetera, you know, there was always in this land, there was a freedom in the spirit to do that. And that was stopped for at least the last 8 years or more, actually. This began way back. And then they began to bring the Muslim faith in, and we began to see you know, where that is, there is not liberty of the spirit, period. And yes. You know, I know a lot of people say, well, that's racial and that's you know, anti-this. I don't care. You know, I know what I see. I know what I feel. And there was a new spirit in town in Washington, D.C. that was there last night when Trump entered that town. And I've seen it today, too. I've seen it. Even though the protesters are protesting, it's like law enforcement and military are under a new watch, and they know it. Matter of fact, I heard something very interesting, Stuart. They said some of the generals that wouldn't even talk under Obama are now saying that Trump was right, that there's a lot of portions of NATO that are obsolete. But we were following a political order, an elite order, a rich man order, and we were just following the edicts sent down from their meetings.
Well, I guess the one question you might have is it too late?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I really honestly don't know. I feel like we've got a window of time. And this is what's interesting. I was watching one of the pastors from Dallas, Texas on there today that is an advisor for Trump, and he said something very interesting. He said, I find it so interesting that two decades, all the presidents and the leadership, Democratic and Republican in America, all they've done is try to bring that new world order without borders. And he said, all of a sudden, we got a new sheriff in town. And it reminds me of Nehemiah. It's like, go build walls.
Yes. Yeah, there's no question that this is a combination of Cyrus and Nehemiah and I think Esther. He's a form of Esther in a weird sense, because it was her that went before the king and stopped the massacre, actually total massacre, of the Jewish people. Obama was coming after the Christians. There's no question about it. He was out to get them. In fact, he said he was going to win the war against Christmas. Well, he didn't. So God had obviously other plans. But maybe this will turn around at this point. And this is going to irritate, though, a huge number of people who have abandoned the Bible, abandoned Christianity, and think it's just mythology and archaic and worthless, and it should have no place in modern civilization. And you've probably got more of those kind of people than I think we realize, kind of been brainwashed not only by our universities from the kindergarten on up, all the way through to the universities, that the biblical stuff is just garbage. Are they going to tolerate any kind of return, I guess, is my question, to a more biblical-based government, if he can even get it done, because they likewise are very apostate and actually enemies of the Lord. We've seen that for I don't know how long. Bush claimed to be a Christian. He wasn't a Christian. Clinton claimed to be a Christian. He wasn't either. These guys are not real Christians. They just use it, and they use religion. This is what the Illuminati have said right along. It's religion is the opium of the people, so we'll just use it. So if Trump is coming in and he's going to turn this whole thing around, what do you think the American people on the left, the kind of communist, Marxist, socialist left, are going to do or try to do?
Well, Stuart, I think that Jeremiah was actually correct. I think we are now established in ruler against ruler warfare. It's not the people against the rulers. It's not the rulers now anymore against the people. This is ruler against ruler. And, you know, the Democratic Party has basically already declared war on the Donald Trump administration. We know also a lot of the establishment Republicans have a more clandestine or hidden war operating against Trump right now already. And he addressed those today, confronted them, as, and he is a ruler. Matter of fact, when you call him Mr. President now, Donald Trump is a ruler in all reality, and he is against them. So I think we're seeing a more ruler against ruler than we ever even imagined. We didn't, Stuart, when we were talking about ruler against ruler, and we were operating under the Bushes, and we were operating under Obama, and we had the rich men, and a matter of fact, I've heard George Soros' name come up by Trump and by a number of people lately. A lot of what he's done is coming out now. But we're seeing ruler against ruler, and we never did imagine the ruler against ruler was going to be into the area we're now watching the warfare take, which is the political high places.
Well, Jeremiah doesn't indicate that the ruler against ruler ever ends. It seems like it escalates, and it says that it escalates to the point where there is violence in the land. And that the enemies watch this, and all of a sudden they pounce because we are in the middle of, I don't know if you could call it a revolution of the people. I don't see that in the scriptures, but I guess if you've got rulers fighting it out, like governors against Washington, et cetera, and you have all these core cities now that are telling Trump, well, you're not going to tell us what to do. That's ruler against ruler as well. There you have mayors of big cities and probably some governors who are just going to ignore anything Trump tries to do. That's my concern, is that we have gone too far. We've been infiltrated too much to such a degree that he, even with all his good intentions, if they are good intentions, he's not going to be able to stop it. And we will go, like you were just saying, into a really big time ruler against ruler. It's already starting. I mean, you said 68 Democrats refused to show up. I mean, what kind of a picture does that show the American people?
Well,
you know, this is supposed to be a celebration.
It's a celebration for the American people. And one thing Trump said, he told the American people today, you just won. You just got your government back after many, many years of not having a part in it. And, it shows that the Democratic Party, if you watch them all recede into the sunset, so to speak, on Inauguration Day, go home. That was not what I heard somebody very eloquently tell the report, that is not why those the citizens of those Democratic people elected them. They elected them to represent the people at all the events that's going on in Washington, to represent the people in Washington. But yet they pull up stakes and go home, so they're not representing the people. So that tells you that they don't care about the American people. It's not about the American people, and it hadn't been for a long time, and that's what Trump has thrown into the ring that's upset this entire nation, including the Republican establishment, is that the people might have something to say in their business, and they can't accept that.
Yeah, they've been in power far too long, and it's like Mitch McConnell and all those people. These are the Republican-Democratic cartel, basically, in the system, and they're not about to give up power without a fight, which leads me to believe that because the pushing and the shoving's already begun. I mean, he's within an hour after he was sworn in, they were going after him.
And yeah,
I guess,
and
I
did, top.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to mention right here that on top of that, they have already, the Democrats have already slowed down the inauguration process as far as approving the government, the new government, for Trump. And Trump so far, Mike Pence actually swore in a General Kelly and a General Mattis. One for Mattis, of course, for Secretary of Defense, and Kelly for Secretary of Homeland Security. They're the only two that Trump has, and he has commissioned them tonight. They swore them in tonight, and they're commissioned, but his entire government is still out. He has no other government at the moment operating because the Democrats say they're going to drag this out. And, of course, you don't see the Republicans pushing it very hard either, do you?
No. No. He has a lot of enemies he's going to have to face down. But my point is, if it's gone too far, they, and you know, he attacked the CIA, and he was warned by Schumer himself, you better be careful what you say. And then the CIA director said, well, you better watch your mouth. So these are direct warnings. And I noticed that they're putting this out as kind of a John Kennedy and his wife. She wore light blue. So did Trump's wife. Noticed a lot of things where they were talking about this, about how this kind of seems like John Kennedy all over again.
Yeah, they're talking a lot, Stuart, about how they're lacking this. For the last week or two, they've been mentioning Eisenhower and JFK and mentioning those. And of course, JFK, as a matter of fact, Robert Kennedy's wife came out and said the reason Robert Kennedy was assassinated was because of his full support of Israel. And we know that's true. And on the other hand, too, the press was making remarks today about Donald Trump's wife, Melania, who was wearing what they called a powder blue outfit that resembled very closely the same outfit Jacqueline Kennedy, John Kennedy's wife, was wearing in his inaugural. And we know how all that worked out. And so there seems to be an undercurrent of threats and intimidation that keeps being focused on Trump.
Well, you know how this thing always, what do you call that? Synchronicity? Warnings of the future? We know what happened to JFK. We know why it was done, basically. We know it was the CIA that did it now. We didn't know that before, but obviously we do now with all of the information coming out. They're not above taking out anybody they want. And did you notice a security around Trump? I've watched the inaugurations before, but I've never seen that much security, ever.
And I've never, I even saw what was shocking to me was Trump being interrupted by Mattis, and I'm talking about General James Mattis, who now is the Secretary of Defense. But Mattis even, went in and was in consultation during the inauguration parade and et cetera with Trump in person.
I saw that.
And I've never seen that, but as I reminded you, Trump has surrounded himself with generals. I mean, and they're very good at not being seen. We know there's other ones, many of them involved. As a matter of fact, they say that a number of people were already operating in the White House before Trump ever got there. So security, and I've never seen as much army and military surrounding Trump. I mean, it's like their bodies were protecting him during this entire, the last 24 hours at least, solid military and police and, Secret Service. I've never seen it to that degree, ever.
Well, then you got people like CNN floating all kinds of ideas, essentially is what they were doing, about how they could get rid of Trump. I mean, they could bomb it. They could do this. They could have a drone. On and on it went. I mean, they went to such a low level, I'm amazed anybody tunes into CNN at all. And if the bots are correct, CNN, NBC, and the rest of them are going to be history pretty soon.
They deserve it.
You think?
Oh, I think they deserve it. You talk about lies and fake news. That's what I was talking about. They were, you know, Trump now has, of course, he's got his old real Donald Trump Twitter still available, but he got a new one, POTUS Twitter. And so now this is what's interesting, and Lou Dobbs was talking about this evening. He said, you know what? Trump's one up on all the mainstream media because he can get the truth out to the American people so quickly that mainstream media, it takes them a while to catch up to what he just said and try to build a lie around it.
Wow. Say, I've got Drudge Report up. And guess what it says?
I don't know.
The identity of this website or the integrity of this connection cannot be verified. So they're putting warnings up to keep people away from Drudge Report. Now, you got
hey,
hit. You said you... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Stuart, what, you know, I found out who hit me and took down my Yahoo groups where I could not post during this thing and took out all my email accounts, and I had multiple email accounts. I had to actually find high-level people that could look into this because the attack was such at a high level that most normal people, in other words, it could not be stopped. It couldn't be protected against, no matter who I might have had for security. And, you know, and they found 14 devices attached to monitoring activities. They took me down basically, too.
Well, I think the American people are naive if they don't believe what Snowden had to say and the extent to which everybody from now on is going to be monitored. That's another thing that sort of bothers me about Donald Trump. It seems like the surveillance is going to be increased, not decreased. And that does bother me. But again, judgment. What's the judgment for America? Well, ultimately, it's getting wiped off the face of the map. So this is going to be one of the most interesting 100 days or whatever he lasts that in American history. We have reached a turning point. I don't think there's any question about it. We are now right in the middle of what you have said is a civil war. The only question is, does this civil war go hot? Right now it's rhetoric. Right now it's block him at every chance, lie about him at every opportunity, but is this thing going to escalate, do you think, into a hot war?
Well, I don't know. You know, of course, I'm waiting to see somebody replace Brennan quickly because, and this is what's interesting, we got to give the Torah codes out of Israel. They were correct. They were absolutely correct. Barry Rothman's Torah codes were absolutely correct. That Trump had a surprise and he became the president of the United States in 1977. And so they were accurate. And, you know, of course, there's other reports going out also of the accuracy. But, you know, it's interesting because we're seeing, it seems, a paradigm shift away from the church as we know it, focusing
yes.
back again on Israel. We can't deny that and we can't play like it's not happening because it certainly is. And I know, you know, I expect Trump to really be the forefront of the protection and movement in the Middle East, good or bad. He's going to be there and involved. And where Russia's going to be and all these others, I do not know. But we're not living in dull times anymore.
I guess not. How can people reach you, Larry? Got to close down here shortly.
Right now you can't unless you just go read my blog, LarryWTaylor.org. It's the only thing working. And some people made contact with me and said, "Well, we didn't know you was down because we don't act. We were spoiled. We were always waiting on something in our e-box to tell us to go look." So people, just look for yourself.
Yep, go to Larry's blog because he always updates everything very, very soon as the events occur. And just this is a heads up, folks. There's a lot of things that can happen when God is in the middle of the equation. He does strange acts. you just never know from what direction it's going to come. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you again next week, the Lord willing. Good night.